Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our questions from our great JTFers this week, as all of us know, three innocent Jewish yeshiva students on their way home from school were kidnapped and brutally murdered. And virtually all of the Arabs in the land of Israel and throughout the Arab world were laughing and celebrating over this. You know what they did to show how funny they thought it was, how they mocked the murder of these three innocent Jewish kids? They would hold up three fingers. Three fingers symbolizing the three Jews who were murdered and laugh and wave the three fingers and laugh. Now, we are now told that an Arab was killed in retaliation. We're told as revenge an Arab was killed. Which, by the way, we still don't know if in fact this Arab was killed by Jews or by Arabs. We have no idea. Because Arabs, as all of us know, kill their fellow Arabs all the time. And so today, six young Jews in Israel were arrested, including minors. Six young Jews, including children, including minors. And charged with killing this Arab in retaliation. I believe that these Jews are innocent. And I believe that they're being smeared and lynched. That this is a lynch mob. That the Israeli police and the Israeli government and the Israeli authorities are trying to show that they're going to crack down on Jews, that they're going to prevent any revenge, that they're going to make sure that Jews sit back and get murdered and never respond. And so I think that this is a lynch mob, and I think that these Jews are innocent. But even if these Jews did kill this Arab in retaliation, it is the Netanyahu, Yalon, Lieberman, Bennett regime that is responsible because they don't defend the Jewish people. And they create a state of terror for the Jewish people and allow our Jewish kids to be butchered without any response. So it is this regime, and it's the Supreme Court, and it's the police, and the army. They're the ones who are responsible. Even if these Jewish kids did kill that Arab in retaliation. And just in case you say, well, this is an innocent Arab. You can't go and just kill some innocent Arab to retaliate for what the Arab terrorists did to the Jewish kids. This was an innocent Arab? This Arab showed pictures of himself on Facebook laughing at the murder of the three Jewish kids, holding up the three fingers and laughing and ridiculing and celebrating the fact that these three Jewish kids were butchered brutally. So this Arab is far from innocent. Like virtually all the other Arabs in Israel, he thought the murder of the three Jews was wonderful. He thought it was something that you can laugh at and enjoy celebrating. Of course, we in JTF, in our movement in Israel, the Jewish Task Force in Hebrew, we're now using the name of the Jewish Task Force in Hebrew. In addition to Hayamin Hamiti, the real right, we now use the name Koach Mesima Yehudi, which is Jewish Task Force in Hebrew, because Israelis love that name. The Jewish Task Force in Israel is the only group that is not joining in the lynch mob. Everyone else is joining in the lynch mob against these Jewish kids that they arrested. We're not joining in the lynch mob. We believe that the Jewish kids are innocent, and we believe that they're being treated very unfairly. Now, let's understand that in order to move on to the subject of our movement and what happened to our movement this week, because what happened to our movement this week was incredible. It's wonderful what happened with our movement this week in terms of our growth, our spectacular, stupendous growth, Baruch Hashem, thank God. But it's also frustrating, and I'll tell you why. First of all, we are on the verge of becoming a mass movement in Israel if we continue at this pace. We had 1,830 likes. Likes are like our in effect members on Facebook. We had 1,830 likes for our Hebrew Facebook page in March. Mid-March, less than 4 months ago when we started our advertising campaign, less than 1,830 likes. No, we had, I'm sorry, not less than. Less than 4 months ago, we had 1,830 likes. Last week, I came to you and said, Baruch Hashem, we now have 11,215 likes. In less than 4 months, we went from 1,830 to 11,215. That is really incredible. But this week, the news is far more incredible. Because we went from 11,215 last week, in just 1 week, in just 7 days, to 14,603 likes the last time I checked. From 11,200 plus to 14,600 plus. You know what that means? That means we have 3,400 new members in 1 week. In 1 week, we have 3,400 new members. That is double the members that we had 4 months ago. And what we had 4 months ago, it took us two whole years to get to 1,830 members. Without the advertising campaign, it took us two whole years to reach 1,830 members. We got double the number of members that we had, the total number of members we had 4 months ago. We got double that number in just 1 week this past week. Now, of course, this is an unusual week because of all the tension and everything else, and because a lot of people who have seen us on YouTube and elsewhere remember that we warned and remember how right we were and come back to us. So this was an unusual week where we grew much faster, probably much faster than we'll be able to grow on a regular basis. I hope not. I hope we could. God willing, I would love to be able to grow like this on a regular basis. But you know something? If we had a real budget and we could grow like we grew this past week, if we could do this every week, if we had a real budget and we could do this every week, do you know what that would mean? That would mean if we got 3,400 members in 1 week, that would mean we get 34,000 more members. 34,000 more members in only 10 weeks. In less than 2 years, in 100 weeks, hundreds of thousands of members. At this pace. Now again, I don't think we'll continue to grow at this pace unless we somehow get a big budget. Unless we somehow get even a half decent budget. If we get a half decent budget and can do real advertising the way we should be doing, then we would be able to grow at this pace. We'd be able to grow at an even faster pace every week. And we would have tens of thousands, and then we would have hundreds of thousands. And can you imagine hundreds of thousands in a country of only 6 million Jews? What do you think would happen to Israel if we had hundreds of thousands of members in a country of 6 million Jews? What do you think would happen to the national debate? What do you think would happen to the political scene in Israel? What do you think would happen to the thinking of the average Jew in Israel who would be moved to the right, all the way to the right, just as Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, our great leader, did when he was in the Knesset? If only we had a real budget, what we did this week, we could do every week, and even more. Oh, how wonderful that would be. Oh, how beautiful that would be. What a beautiful world we could create. Imagine for once having a mass movement of Jews, and you'd be so proud. Jews and righteous Gentiles everywhere would be so proud to see this. And so proud to see all that we would achieve and accomplish and all the people we'd be convincing and all the minds we'd be changing and all the souls we'd be saving. People would be so proud of us and so proud to be part of this. And yes, it would lead, in my opinion, to a huge growth in our English language movement. I mean, now we're at 14,603 members. If we had hundreds of thousands of members, the news media in America would not ignore that. We would get huge attention in America, and it would lead to huge growth in our English movement. As it is now, our English movement is growing every week, but that's mainly due to the great Dan Ben-Noach, and some other people that help us. Dan Ben-Noach really does a lot to help the English language movement. He does so much on our English language Facebook page. Just to give you an illustration of where we are and where we could be, just think about this now. I did a Hebrew video this week, an 8-minute Hebrew video, on the fact that Israeli government officials like Tzipora Spitzer, who calls herself Tzipi Livni, because she thinks in Hebrew it sounds nicer, Tzipi Livni, than Tzipora Spitzer, which is her real name, Tzipora Spitzer. Instead, she wants to call herself Tzipi Livni. Anyway, she's the so-called justice minister in the Netanyahu regime of injustice. And she said any Jew who calls for revenge against the Arab terrorists on the internet should be arrested. Should be arrested and indicted for incitement. For calling for revenge against Arab terrorists. The majority of Israeli Jews want revenge against Arab terrorists. Tens of thousands of Jews went on and joined Facebook pages that call for revenge against Arab terrorists. So what, she's going to arrest tens of thousands of Jews for what they wrote? For writing the only sane thing that any Jew could ever write? That we should get revenge against Arab terrorists? And she wants to arrest tens of thousands of Jews? She wants to arrest the majority of the... She'll have to arrest the majority of the country because the majority of the country agrees with revenge against the Arab terrorists. So I did a video on this, and I did a video saying, how could there even be a debate about this? What, that's a debatable issue, that there must be revenge against Arab terrorists? How could you even debate this issue? I put the video up less than 24 hours ago, this video that where I expressed the views that you just heard. So far, last time I checked, we have 36,304 views on our Hebrew Facebook page for that video. Now, we have 14,603 members, but you don't have to be a member to watch the video because the video was also shared on many different pages. And so over 36,000 people have seen that video on YouTube now. Over 36,000 Israeli Jews have now seen that video on YouTube in less than 24 hours. I'm telling you, we can become a mass movement and we're on our way. In fact, we're on our way to becoming a mass movement, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. If we continue like this, we are well on our way. And this is without a decent budget. But let me tell you one of the problems I face here. Let's say we become a mass movement, this continues, we become a mass movement, which, God willing, which would be wonderful, and we don't get a decent budget. We're a mass movement without money. We're a mass movement without a budget. That will put us at a tremendous disadvantage. How are we going to function as a mass movement without a budget? How are we going to create chapters all over Israel? How are we going to do all this without a budget? You know, how do you do all this? How do you handle the huge amount of people that are coming in? How do you do this? Right now we can handle it. We have 14,600 members, thank God. Right now we can handle it. We're able to see what happens on our page, and we're able to handle the traffic and able to respond where we have to respond and able to put up the posts that we have to put up. We're able to handle it now at this number. And we could probably handle a lot more than 14,600. But what do we do if we reach tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, God willing? If we reach hundreds of thousands, if we don't have somebody to help us to have someone on staff, if we don't have some staff to supervise our Hebrew Facebook page, it'll be a mess. We can't just have people right now like we have our Hebrew admins who, when they come home from work or when they come home from class, you know, whatever they're doing, that they come home on their own time, on their volunteer time, they spend hours working on our page and watching things. We can't handle that if we become gigantic. We can't handle that with just volunteers. This week we were attacked by homosexuals in Israel. Dozens of homosexuals came on our Hebrew Facebook page and attacked us on one of the posts that we did because we protested the fact that they're having another one of these abomination parades, this time in Nahariya. And so we put up a post showing that they're going to have another one of the abomination parades. And, oh, dozens of homosexuals came onto the site and started, you know, and really, which is good for the site because all the debate and the back and forth and every all the posts, that increases our presence and increases our position and ups our position on the Google search engine and on the Facebook search engine. So it's good for us. And we were able to handle it. We debated with them and our people, and we told people there's action here. We told our members, so our members came on and they debated back and forth, and it, you know, it was good. But if we have hundreds of thousands, we're going to be in over our heads. We can't handle that with volunteers. You can't. You just can't. It's too much. Right now, with what we got, we're handling it. We're managing. We're okay. But we're growing so fast, we're going to quickly come to the point where we just won't be able to handle it. We'll be in over our heads. So we got to find other sources of funding. We must. We have to find more funding. In the meantime, we need all the financial support we can get because we got to grow as fast as possible. If we grow quickly enough, we can prevent tragedies like the murder of these three Jewish kids, or like the fact that six more Jewish kids now have been arrested and charged with murder. So many terrible things happen because there's no one with telling the uncompromising principled truth. And of course, we're a law-abiding organization. We don't say or do anything illegal, anything. And we're going to continue to be a law-abiding organization. But even a law-abiding organization, even though some of the laws in Israel are unjust, but still we're a law-abiding organization. Because we don't want them to close us down and we want to be able to reach the people of Israel with our message. Even within the parameters of being a law-abiding organization, there must be one voice of truth that reaches all the people of Israel and reaches them on a regular basis. And here we really have this chance, this dream, all these years. I've been speaking to you about this and we've been dreaming about this. This week again, we saw we really are on the verge of achieving it. I want to achieve it much more quickly, though. And so we need your help. And I want to be able to get enough financial support so that when we really get big, we'll have staff so that we can handle what has to be handled and turn a mass movement into an effective vehicle that could change what is happening in Israel forever, God willing. We need four things. Your part, and I want to tell you, our fellow JTFers, you wonderful, magnificent people who are in JTF. You were with us all these years. You stuck with us and believed that the day would come when we'd find some way to have this chance. You were with us when times were not good. And now we have a shot. We have a shot at really changing things. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you stuck it out with us and supported us and helped us. And how wonderful I think that is. But we need your help now more than ever. We need people to really sacrifice and really get involved and really help. Because we have big challenges ahead of us. And we want to meet those challenges. Four things I ask you to do. Number one, please pray for our success. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for Israel and for the Jewish people. That we're required to pray for. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And pray for our success. Because you know that we really tell a truth that no one else. We tell the truth and no one else is willing to tell the truth. Please pray for our success. That's number one. Number two, when you see our English and Hebrew videos, please like, share, and comment on Facebook. Every time you like, share, and comment, it boosts us on Facebook and on Google. And when you see our Hebrew and English videos, and I post the videos on our forum, so you'll see them on a forum. And you could check them on the Hebrew and English Facebook pages as well. You can check them on Facebook itself, or you can check it on the forum. You could check it on both. So like, share, and comment on Facebook. And on YouTube, like, comment, favorite, and mirror. Help us. Help us promote this. That's number two, helping with the videos. Number one was praying. Number two, helping with the videos. Number three, help us on our English forum and on our Facebook pages with good posts and good threads to attract people to the movement. We need your help with that. That's number three. And fourth and most importantly, last but not least, every check, every money order, every cash donation makes such a big difference. You see with your own eyes every week now the difference that it makes. You can see the beautiful results with your own eyes. You're making it happen when you help us. So checks and money orders and cash donations sent to the post office box really make a difference. And if you prefer, instead of sending the check or money order or cash donation to the post office box, if you'd rather do it online with your credit card for the sake of convenience, all you have to do is go to the donate button on the Hebrew main page. The Hebrew main page is hayamin.org. On the top on your hayamin.org, there's a donate button there. In English, you click on the donate button, and in a few minutes, you can make a very convenient PayPal donation to the organization. It makes no difference to us whether it's done through sending it through the mail to the post office box or whether it's done through PayPal on the internet. Makes no difference. It has the same positive effect. God bless the great JTFers that are helping us. God bless the great people that are trying to make a difference here. Imagine how exciting this will be a year from now if through our hard work we become a really big, impressive movement a year from now. Imagine how exciting that will be. Help us. Help us make that difference. Okay. This is really, what a week. What an exciting week this has been. And let's hope, God willing, that it leads to great things and that we can make this a better world. Okay. Now we go to our questions from our great JTFers. Let me make sure this is okay over here. Yes, everything seems to be okay over here. Baruch Hashem. And we start off with the great wandering samurai 81 who writes, and I quote, "Is Brian Eno an anti-Semite? Should people listen to his music?" Unquote. He definitely is a vicious anti-Semite. And people should not listen to his music. He's a vicious Jew hater. This is a guy who calls for a boycott of Israel, of all countries in the world. The country that he wants to boycott is Israel. He doesn't say boycott Iran or North Korea, who murdered millions of their own people. Millions of their own citizens they've murdered. They committed a Holocaust against their own people. And he doesn't say boycott them or boycott Sudan or boycott these other monstrous countries. No, no, no. Israel. Boycott Israel. Which happens to be the not only is it humane, it's a country because of its wimpy policies that bends over backwards in the worst possible way to appease their enemies. And this is too much for him because he's a Jew hater. Of course, people shouldn't listen to his music and should have nothing to do with this swine. Yimach shmo v'zichro. May his name and memory be obliterated. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we now go to our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim. Are you as tired as I am of the liberal media in this country pushing the gay agenda during Gay Pride Week? Thanks," unquote. Absolutely, Joe. Of course, all of us are sick of this. They never stop shoving this down our throats. I mean, don't you feel, is it only me, or don't you feel like you want to throw up watching news reports and watching two men kissing, getting married and kissing on television? I mean, am I the only one that wants to throw up when I see this? This is so disgusting. And they keep shoving this in our face. And they force it on our children in the school system and in Hollywood and in the media. They force this on us. In Canada and in Europe, you can be arrested if you say anything critical of those who support perverted abomination. And God says it's an abomination. It's not Chaim ben Pesach. This is not Chaim ben Pesach saying this. This is Hashem Yitbarach. This is God, the creator of the universe. He calls it a toeva, an abomination in the Bible. And if you say that publicly in Canada and Europe and Western countries, most Western countries, now you can get arrested. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Joe, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were a mass movement to fight against this and stand against this and finally say what so many people privately think? Joe, a lot of people privately think like us. A lot of people are sick of this. You know how happy people would be to see a movement, if we were a mass movement, finally standing up against this? Thanks, Joe. And now we go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "The Hebrew Language Academy gave Hebrew names to the planets Uranus, Oron, and Neptune, Rachav. The other planets have names from the Talmud. Does the Academy have the authority to give official Hebrew names? Do the names given by them have halachic validity, or does it require a Sanhedrin to add official names of planets to Lashon HaKodesh?" Lashon HaKodesh means the holy language, Hebrew. Unquote. That's an interesting question, Binyamin. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if they have halachic authority. I don't know. It's obviously it's a secular institution, the Hebrew Language Academy. And obviously we do use a lot of names that secular people have given. And we use them in Hebrew. We call computers machshev or machshevim. Televisia, radio, there are a lot of things that are in Hebrew that we adopted, obviously, from foreign languages and secular people. Whether they have a halachic authority to give planets that were created by God, give names to planets that were created by God, that I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there's a halachic issue there. Binyamin, I just don't know. But it's an interesting, you raise an interesting question. Thanks, Binyamin. And now we go to the great Lewinsky stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "Give a CBP blessing to Michael Faggett," unquote. Well, of course, Lewinsky stinks is referring to Michael Savage, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. This is another Jew who has an audience with millions of people, and what does he do? He bashes Israel. He condemns little Israel and tries to undermine Israel's struggle to survive and tries to smear Israel on his radio program and defends Israel's enemies. I mean, what a piece of garbage. This is the same piece of garbage, of course, who spends his time, one day he's against illegal immigration, the next day he says, oh, he can't wait till the illegal aliens take over the country. Remember, for a whole week he said, oh, I can't wait till they take over the country. I really want them to take over because that'll save us from Islam if the illegal aliens take over the country. And then he played Mexican music all week, and saying that the reason he was playing Mexican music is because he wants to celebrate the fact that America is going to be taken over, and he thinks that that would be a good thing. He thinks that'll save the country. I mean, this is just, he's a dangerous person. He's an evil person. He undermines the Republican candidates when they're running for president. He was against, he was against Sarah Palin and refused to endorse the Republican opposition to Barack Hussein Obama in 2008. Turned off a lot of voters. Who knows how many votes we lost because of that. Did the same thing with Mitt Romney in 2012. I mean, he undermines the cause, then he presents himself when it's ratings week, he presents himself as a big conservative again. He's just a two-faced, lying, phony, hypocritical piece of garbage. And I don't know why people don't wake up and understand what we're dealing with when it comes to this sick, evil, self-hating piece of trash. Now Lewinsky stinks writes, and I quote, "How long till white leftists are a majority in the Bible Belt?" Unquote. God forbid. God forbid Lewinsky stinks. That's the end of the country. That's the end of our hope in America if that happens. God forbid. The Bible Belt is still the most normal part of America. God forbid. I don't know if white leftists, I think that other people coming in will become a majority eventually if we continue with the illegal aliens. That's what's going to become a majority. The white leftists plus the blacks plus the third world illegal aliens coming in, they're going to become a majority, God forbid. They're already a majority in the state of Texas, which is part of the Bible Belt, which is the biggest state in the Bible Belt. The majority of Texas is already third world. They're a huge majority in California. California, of course, is not part of the Bible Belt. But it's already 60% third world population. And if you add to the third world population all the white leftists, now you have a permanent left wing. You have permanent one-party left-wing control, permanent left-wing Democrat Party control. That's why we can't have amnesty, and that's why we've got to deport the illegal aliens, and that's why we've got to have people who are true to conservative principles. That's the only shot we got. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, and I quote, "Discuss the Christian, quote-unquote, singer Hayley Williams." Yeah, how can she be a Christian when all of her music encourages sinful behavior? She sings music with sexual themes and encouraging all types of sexual activity, sexual behavior. How can she be a Christian singer? Christians are supposed to believe in the Bible. How could she be a Christian singer if she's singing immoral, sexually themed music? If she was singing about the beauty of a husband and a wife and family life, that would be good. That's what people should sing about. They shouldn't sing about sex even in marriage. I mean, sex in marriage is beautiful. Sex between a husband and wife is beautiful, but that should be something that should be between the husband and the wife. They should keep it to themselves. That's their business. That's their beautiful. That's the beautiful, a beautiful part of their lives. But you know, that's something you don't sing about publicly. But she sings about all types of sexual activity. I mean, she. Her songs are filled with sexual themes that are not involving marriage. So, you know, I think she's a bad influence. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we now go to the great Yamash Moda Jobnik, who writes, and I quote, "Fraser Glenn Miller is dying of chronic lung disease. He has HIV, unquote. Let me continue. He accused Jews of killing 300 million whites. Compare him to Amiri Baraka, unquote. I don't know if he has HIV. Obviously, he is a homosexual, by the way. This is the Nazi that in Kansas murdered three innocent people whom he thought were Jewish. They weren't Jewish, but he thought they were Jewish. Just three people, just on the street. He just guns them down for no reason because he thought they were Jewish because they were near a Jewish community center. And so he gunned them down and murdered them. None of the three were Jewish. I mean, just an evil, vicious Nazi. And this phony, and then he talks, he speaks against all these groups all the time. And he himself was caught and arrested. I don't think he was arrested, but he was caught in the back of a car with a black male prostitute. And the black male prostitute and he were engaging in sexual activity in the back of a car. So he's a homosexual. And then he speaks against the homosexuals all the time, and he says all the time, "We're going to kill them faggots. We're going to kill them faggots." And he himself is a homosexual, like most, I think most Nazis are homosexuals. This was true in Nazi Germany, the leaders of the movement, and it's true here. I mean, this is the type of disgusting subhuman fungus that controls these Nazi organizations. This is fungus. This is subhuman fungus. And if he's dying, Baruch Hashem, the quicker the better. He's going to have a very, very unpleasant time after his death. If he thinks he's suffering now, he's gonna wait till after his death what awaits him. And you say compare him to Amiri Baraka because he said 300 million whites were killed by Jews. Yeah, Amiri Baraka is the one who said You know, I'm tired of them Jewish cats talking about 6 million cats getting killed during the Holocaust. Billions, billions of black people was thrown over in the Atlantic Ocean and was killed. Billions, because the Jews did that. The Jews are the slave owners. Yeah, the Jews threw billions of black people into the Atlantic Ocean. That was Amiri Baraka, Leroy Jones. Leroy Jones. Mm-hmm. By the way, this genius, Amiri Baraka, who Baruch Hashem died earlier this year, you know that his son, Ras Baraka, that's the name of his son, Ras Baraka. They all wanted, they wanted their Arab wannabes. These Schwarzes want to be Arabs so badly. Anyway, Ras Baraka was just elected, this year was just elected mayor of Newark, New Jersey. Can you believe this? They made him the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, the son of this subhuman fungus. Now his son, the son of the fungus, who was also fungus, son of fungus is fungus. This other collection of fungus became the mayor of Newark, which is a city of fungus, a city of fungi. Let's put it that way. It's a city of fungi. Unbelievable. Thank you, Yimach Shmo Tejabnik. And we go now to our great friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Can you please explain what the Jewish Modern Orthodox movement is?" Unquote. It's a movement that tries to mix modern life with Orthodox Judaism in the United States. Unfortunately, they're too modernized, and they compromise too much. You shouldn't compromise on the commandments in the Torah, and they compromise too much. So it's a lot, very, very, so it's actually a liberalized version of Orthodox Judaism. And I mean liberalized. So I don't think it's a positive movement in the Jewish community. We need Orthodox Jews that are not afraid or ashamed to observe the commandments of the Bible. That's what we need. Not the modern dox, what Rabbi Kahana, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, our great leader Rabbi Kahana, used to call the modern dox. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to our great friend Manch, who writes, and I quote, please comment on IS, former IS, ISIS, or ISIS, threat to Jordan and Israel, and on Lieberman recommendation to militarily intervene to help Jordan, unquote. Absolutely not. Let them take over Jordan. If they take over Jordan, become a threat to Israel, Israel can go in and liberate Jordan and say, hey, we got a military threat here. We got to pursue the enemy like they did in the 1967 war and 1973 war. Go over and liberate Jordan. Jordan is part of Israel. Jordan has no right to exist. Jordan is part of Israel. And Jordan is an enemy of Israel. They're Nazis. They're media, Nazi media. They say they're waiting for the day when they'll be strong enough to destroy Israel. That's the theme of the Jordanian media, the Egyptian media. All the Arab media says that. So Jordan is actually a more dangerous enemy. I would rather have an enemy that openly tells us that they're our enemy than an enemy that says one thing in Arabic, like the Jordanians do, and then in English and in Hebrew, they sign peace treaties, but in Arabic they say, oh, don't worry, we still intend to destroy them as soon as we get strong enough. I would rather have an honest enemy than a more clever enemy. The more clever enemy is much more dangerous. I want to have a stupid enemy that tells us honestly what their plans are, which is what ISIS is. I'd rather deal with that than a more clever and tricky and duplicitous enemy. Thank you, Manch. And we go now to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, is MK Feiglin, member of Knesset Feiglin, pro-gay, unquote. I wouldn't go so far as to say he's pro-gay. He did meet with them, and he did say with them, he did say that he supports certain rights they have, and I didn't agree with what he did. I thought it was a mistake. I thought he was you know, in effect giving them a stamp of legitimacy. I thought what he did was wrong. I disagreed with what he did when he met with them. But I wouldn't say that he's pro-gay. He's not, you know, he does oppose when the Netanyahu government, for instance, tries to pass in the cabinet all types of measures to legitimize homosexuality on a legal level and institutionally legal, you know, institutionally make it something that the state recognizes and supports. Moshe Feiglin is against them when they do that. So I wouldn't say that he's pro-gay. That I wouldn't say. And LKZ now writes, and I quote, "Is there Torah to back up this statement or something similar? An armed society is polite," unquote. There probably is. I can't think of it right now, but there probably is. People obviously are less nasty and less violent when they know that the person they're starting with may have a gun and can pull out the gun and shoot them. Obviously. I'll never forget when I was in the prison system. If I was in a low-level, low-security prison, the guards and the staff treated people like garbage there. Because they figured, these guys here were... Because in the low-security prisons, the guys are there for shorter-term sentences. You know, when I say low-security, in other words, minimum security, I was never in minimum security, but medium security. A lot of the people there are people, for instance, who cheated on their taxes and committed fraud and white-collar crimes, some of the people there. So the guards and the staff know they can push those people around. So they treat them like little babies and are constantly pestering them and bothering them and harassing them all the time. In the high security, the maximum security penitentiaries, which you would think, I wouldn't want to be there because the maximum security of all the murderers and all the big drug dealers and all the violent people. I actually preferred the maximum security, high security prisons. Why? Because there the staff and the guards are so careful. They're so polite to you. They're so afraid that there's going to be a riot because they know they're dealing with violent people who have nothing to lose. Many of the people in the maximum security prisons are there with life sentences, will never get out. So they have nothing to lose. If somebody mouths off at them, they'll kill somebody. They'll cut their throat. And they have homemade knives there all the time. They call it a shank, a homemade knife. And they'll cut somebody's throat without hesitation. So the guards and the staff, they're walking on eggshells. They're so polite and so careful and never... they don't mouth off at you. I mean, it was just, I couldn't believe it. It was a lot better there. And the same principle applies, you know, if we had an armed society. I do think that America and Israel would be better off if all law-abiding citizens were permitted to acquire arms. I think all law-abiding citizens should be allowed to have arms to protect themselves and defend themselves and protect their families and protect their businesses. And I think the United States and Israel would be better off if we had that type of society. LKZ now writes, Dvar Torah on the parasha, please. Oh, that's great. Absolutely. I'll be happy to do that. This week's parasha is Balak. Balak was the king of Moab. And Israel had no intention of conquering Moab or going to war with Moab, because from Moab would eventually come Ruth in English, Ruth in Hebrew, and from Ruth would come King David, and from King David will come the Messiah. And so this was a Gentile nation that God said, I don't want you starting with them, I don't want you having wars with them, you're not going to conquer them, you're going to leave them alone, because the Mashiach eventually is going to come, because Ruth eventually converted to Judaism, and from her came King David, and the Mashiach is going to come from them. And so Balak, the king of Moab, had no reason to start up with Israel, to fight with Israel. Israel wasn't going to do anything to him. They weren't going to bother him. But Balak didn't want the Jews to succeed in the land of Israel. He hated them. He was a Jew hater. And he didn't like what Judaism and the Torah stand for, because he was an idolater and wanted to do idol worshipping and all the evil things. And so he hires Bilam. Bilam is the evil, is an evil prophet, an evil Gentile prophet, and he hires Bilam to curse the Jewish people. And he was, and Bilam is a real prophet of God, a real prophet. And he hires him to curse the Jewish people. But a prophet also has free will. Bilam, through his own free will, chose to be evil. And God prevents Bilam from cursing, because when someone is prophesying, God is controlling what that prophet is saying and doing. So Bilam was unable to curse the Jewish people. God turns Bilam's curses into blessings. Bilam also wanted to curse the Jews. But God turns Bilam's curses into blessings. And some of the most beautiful blessings for the Jewish people came. And it's, we see it in this week's parasha, in this week's Torah portion, came from Bilam. Another interesting little story, another interesting little side note that you won't hear, LKZ, if you go to study in yeshiva. Most yeshivas, you're not going to hear what I'm going to tell you now. But it's something that Chazal, that some of the rabbis do believe in. The female donkey in the story, Bilam rides on a female donkey, aton in Hebrew. Female donkey in Hebrew is an aton. And he rides on the aton on his way with all these people to go to a hilltop so that he could curse the Jewish people from this mountain. He was going to overlook the Jews and curse them from this mountain. So he's on his way and he's riding this female donkey. And the female donkey sees an angel of God. An angel of God. God sends an angel. And only the donkey can see the angel. And the angel pulls out the angel has a sword. And so the donkey can't keep moving. He can't go into... What is he going to do? The angel has a sword there. The donkey's afraid to keep going. So the donkey turns away. Three times the donkey turned away at three different points in this journey of Bilam. Why does God do this? God does this to say to Bilam, do not try to curse this people. God warns Bilam not to do it. But Bilam ignores that, and Bilam can't even see the angel because he's so filled with hate for the Jewish people. The donkey sees the angel, turns to the side three different times, and so Bilam hits the donkey three times. He hits the donkey. He beats the female donkey. And so the donkey starts speaking to Bilam and saying, why are you hitting me? And explains to Bilam why she can't keep going. Bilam hits him and hits the donkey and says, because you have to keep going, because I want you to keep going. I want to get to my destination here. And the donkey then speaks to Bilam and explains to Bilam. The donkey starts speaking to Bilam and explains to him why she can't keep going. Now, that would be an amazing change in nature if we have a speaking donkey now, right? Actually, many of the rabbis teach us, though, that this is actually a prophecy, that Bilam is seeing all of this in a dream. The donkey speaking and everything else, he's actually dreaming all of this in his prophecy. And this didn't actually happen in the actual physical world. This was in a dream, and it was actually a prophecy. That's something that today they teach everything in the yeshiva world, they teach as literal. Everything is literal. The world is 6,000 years old. Adam and Eve are literal. Everything is literal. But if you study Chazal, if you study the rabbinic scholars who gave us the Talmud and classic Judaism, a lot of things in the Torah are not literal. A lot of them involve prophecy, a lot of them involve visions. And sometimes when you take everything literally, sometimes you can miss the point. I'm not knocking people who want to take it literally. There are also great rabbis who say that we should take this literally. Okay. But I just want you to know, LKZ, and anyone else listening, that it isn't always literal. in the Torah. Some of these things involve prophecies and visions. Okay. And by the way, you know, I'll give you one final story on this. Actually, there are several times this has happened, so I'll just mention that there were cases where people went to great rabbis and would say to him, and would say to the great rabbi, to mock this story and say, oh, the Torah, you mean a donkey speaks? There have been cases where they went, and the great rabbis would always answer them, usually in the, pretty much always answer them in the same way. When someone mocking the Torah or mocking the Bible would come and say, oh, it says in the Torah that a donkey speaks. How can you believe something like that, that a donkey speaks? And the great rabbi, and this is from the Talmud, the great rabbi would answer and say, I'm watching a donkey speak right now. I have no doubt. I wondered whether this was real or a prophecy. I was wondering, but now that I see a donkey speaking, I have no doubt. After you ask this question, I have no doubt that this can, in fact, happen. Anyway, it actually, I didn't say it right. It was actually quite humorous, but I blew the punchline. I screwed up the joke, so my apologies for that, but it's actually quite clever. The answer is actually quite clever if I hadn't screwed up the answer, but it's actually a pretty good answer. Thank you, LKZ, and we now go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "What would you have encouraged Israeli Jews to do after the murder of the teenagers?" Unquote. I would have encouraged them, Dr. Dan, to join our movement, to join Koach Mesima Yehudi, the Jewish Task Force. You make us a mass movement, and we will change things, and Jews will be safer in Israel. You make us a mass movement, Jews will be safer in Israel. And you put us in power, you won't have murders of teenagers anymore. Arab terrorists won't be there to do the murdering. So the real answer is to join our movement and make our movement a mass movement. That really is the best thing that somebody can do to help us. That's the best thing. So that we can permanently solve this problem once and for all. And Dr. Dan now writes, and I quote, "What are your thoughts of Feiglin's video?" Unquote. I don't know. I think if you're referring to Feiglin's video on the Temple Mount, I don't know which video you're referring to, Dr. Dan, because he's released a number of videos recently or in recent months. If you're referring to his video on the Temple Mount, of course, I agree with what he's saying. And I think that the Jews should be allowed, of course, to return to the Temple Mount. And I think we should take the necessary steps to restore the Jewish presence there. So I agree with him on that issue. But I want to say, I was asked another question before about Feiglin, and I want to make sure to get this in because it really bothers me, something Feiglin did. Today, Feiglin, on his Hebrew Facebook page, wrote something that I thought was awful, just terrible. He wrote that the Jewish kids, the six Jewish kids that were arrested and charged with killing this Arab, who put his three fingers up to laugh at the Jewish teenagers that were murdered, this Arab Jew hater. He said that the six Jewish kids that were arrested for allegedly killing this Arab, and we don't know, and I think they're innocent, by the way, but in any event, he said that if they're guilty, he said what they did was terrible. He really condemned them. He said maaseh metoav, which means a I don't know how you say metoav in English, like a really abominable action. An abominable, horrific action, he called it, killing this Arab in retaliation. And he said, not only that, he said that the law, he said we should enforce the law to the fullest and in the strictest way. In other words, he's in effect saying, throw the book at them, give them the maximum penalty. He wants to give these six Jewish kids life imprisonment? Let's say they killed the Arab in retaliation. And I don't think they did. I think they're innocent. He wants to give them life imprisonment? When Israel released 10,000 Muslim terrorists that murdered endless numbers of Jews, and he wants to give Jews that kill one Arab Life imprisonment, when Arabs never get life imprisonment, when they're released all the time, they get life sentences, but they're released a couple of years later in prison as gestures or prisoner exchanges. And he wants these Jewish kids, to get life imprisonment? He did the same thing with Yigal Amir. He did the same thing, I'm talking about Feiglin, condemning Yigal Amir, condemning Baruch Goldstein, condemning all these Jews that, whether you agree or disagree, and I'm not saying one way or the other, we're not allowed to praise their actions, and we're a law-abiding organization. But whether you agree or disagree, they did what they did because they love the Jewish people. And he did the same thing, viciously condemning them and saying, with the fullest extent, to the fullest extent of the law, they should throw the book at them. I think it's terrible to do that. I don't care what it would mean for my political career if I got into Israel. I will never do that to a Jew who's in trouble because he tried to help the Jewish people. I don't care how unpopular it is. And I don't care what it means. I will never do that to a Jew who's in trouble for trying to help his fellow Jews. If a Jew's in trouble for trying to help his fellow Jews, whether you agree or disagree with what he did, whether it was right or wrong, you know, that's a different issue. I at least want that Jew. I want that Jew to at least get the same treatment that thousands of Muslim terrorists who murdered innocent Jews have been receiving. They go to hotels that are called prisons. I mean, their prisons are like 4-star hotels. And then are released after a couple of years and get a hero's welcome after they brutally murder Jewish babies and Jewish children. So I was very disappointed with what Feiglin did. Very disappointed. And I say that with a great sense of sadness, because on many issues, Feiglin is the one guy who is principled. But how do you do this to Jewish kids that are in trouble, that are facing life imprisonment now? How do you do something like that to them? God forbid, I would never do that. Maybe that's the difference between Moshe Feiglin and Chaim Ben Pesach. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to our great friend Yesha. Welcome back, Yesha. We haven't spoken in a long time. It's good to see you again. Yesha writes, and I quote, "Dear Reb Chaim, it's been some time. How does one grow spiritually being a Torah observant Jew, learning prayer, reading Jewish books, doing mitzvot?" Unquote. Okay. Well, I think everything you're saying are all good ways to grow. People should set aside time to learn Torah all the time. People should also learn Hebrew, because the Torah in the original Hebrew, there's no comparison between Torah in English and Torah in the original Hebrew. People should learn Hebrew and learn the Torah. Set aside time. Devote some time to learning. It really is important. Prayer is also very important. Reading Jewish books that teach you about the Torah, very important. And doing mitzvot, obviously. Obviously, very important. Mitzvot are the commandments. All of it is very important. Life is beautiful when you do what God, the creator of the universe, wants us to do. God gave us a beautiful world. And if only we listen to what he tells us, we can make the world so much more beautiful and make our lives so beautiful. And that's in this world, the short time that we're in this world. In the next world, it's forever. If we do what God says. Thank you, Yesha. And we now go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "How could Bilam curse Am Yisrael?" Am Yisrael meaning the people of Israel. "Why or how would a curse have any meaning or power at all?" Unquote. Okay, that's a question that the Chazal ask. A very good question, Tag Mechir. And it's a question that is asked by Chazal, the rabbis of the Talmud. And the answer is that curses only have power if the person being cursed or the nation being cursed has committed the types of sins that makes God want to punish that person. If a person commits the type of terrible sins that warrant punishment, and then someone curses them for it, then the curse can have power. Then someone like Bil'am cursing them, it can have power. If God decides, of course it's up to God, if God decides to do that, if God decides to punish them, if God decides that the sins merit punishment, rise to a level where they merit punishment, and someone curses them for having committed the sin, then that the person being cursed or the nation being cursed can be in trouble, in serious trouble. Now, God didn't want to punish the Jewish people and refused to allow Bil'am to curse the Jewish people. So Bil'am understood what the answer is. So he got the daughters of Moab to tempt the Jews. He told them, go and sell to the Jews. Go sell them fabrics and clothes. And so they would have an old lady outside to lure the Jews in, so the Jews would figure, oh, this is an old lady. I'm not going to have any problem with tzniut, with modesty. I'm not going to have any problem being tempted by this. This is an old lady outside. So they put the old ladies outside, told the Jews come in, told them, oh, we got great deals for you. We'll sell you all this. We're going to sell you these great clothes. So they went in. And when they went in the store, they met a very, very attractive young woman who then tempted them and lured them not only into immorality sexually, but also into idolatry eventually. They said, well, if you want to do this, why don't you do this with us? Why don't you also commit this act or that act with us? And they didn't even realize that the acts they were committing were actually forms of worship and idolatry to the idols of Moab. So Bil'am understood that if he got the Jews to commit sexually immoral acts and prostitution and adultery and idolatry, if he got the Jews to do that, that God would punish the Jews. He understood that. So that's what he set about doing. Tag Mechir Tzedek now writes, and I quote, to comment on Satmar Rebbe, quote-unquote, recent comments, unquote. Well, for those who don't know, the Satmar Rebbe, or one of their, I don't know, they have several Rebbes now, but one of their Rebbes said that the Jews basically got what they deserved, the three Jewish teenagers, they got what they deserved because they're living in settlements. They're living in the land of Israel. They're living in their own homeland, and you're not supposed to live there according to this Satmar. This is Satmar fungus. You know, before I spoke about different types of fungi, this is called this is Satmar fungus. This piece of Satmar fungus said the Jews got what they deserved because they're settlers. Satmar represents such anti-Semitism, such evil hatred of their own brothers and sisters, such a sick group of people who have lived in the Galut, in the exile, for so long that they think the natural place for Jews is Williamsburg or Muncie or some other community in New York or outside of the land of Israel. They think living in the land of Israel is not natural. You shouldn't live in the land of Israel. We certainly shouldn't have a Jewish state. The Satmar Rebbe said that the creation of a Jewish state is an act of Satan, that this is Satan creating a Jewish state. I mean, just so sick. So sick. Absolutely disgusting. To badmouth Jews who are murdered, Al Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name, to do that, especially when the Satmar are such cowards, they live like wimpy little worms in Brooklyn and outside of Israel, and then they badmouth brave Jews who live in Judea and Samaria? Really, really grotesque. Fungus. This is Semitic fungus. This is what we call Semitic fungus. All right. Thank you, Tag Mechir. And we now go to the great Kalman ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, if a Jew intermarries, does he or she become karet? Thank you. Karet means cut off. The answer is yes. That's one of the sins that does cause Jews to be cut off. Yes? Yes? It's absolutely forbidden to intermarry. It's absolutely forbidden. It's explicit commandments in the Torah. You're not to give your daughters unto their sons and their sons unto your daughters. God does not want this. It's absolutely not forbidden. It's the end of the Jewish people. The Jewish people will disappear if they intermarry. And this is cutting off a part of the Jewish, you're cutting off a part of the Jewish people when you intermarry. So it's a terrible sin. So they are cut off. Unless they do tshuva, unless they repent, or kapara, which is atonement. They have to do tshuva and face kapara, which is atonement. It's not hopeless for a Jew who intermarries. They can come back. But Jews are not allowed to intermarry. Thank you, Kalman. And we now go to the great paper cut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, please talk about the traitors, Baptist brown shirts, who are helping Obama flood our country with illegal aliens, unquote. Paper cut, you're so right. I just don't get it. The Southern Baptist Convention passed a resolution saying that they want to give citizenship to the illegal aliens in this country. And they support the illegal aliens. Why are there Christians who think there's something noble about destroying the United States with third world illegal aliens? I don't get it. I just don't get it. What is Christian about that, and what is noble about that? It's insane. Don't they realize that all the things that they're concerned about, that they're legitimately concerned about, pro-life, traditional marriage, believing in God, those things disappear if the third world illegal aliens take over. Where you have states like New York and California where left-wing groups have taken over and become the overwhelming majority, there is no biblical voice anymore. It's just like Europe. There's complete immorality. Do they want the whole country to become like that? They want the Bible Belt and the whole country to become like that? God forbid. If the third world people move in and take over, become a majority, which is what legalizing illegal aliens will lead to, when you have this situation, that's the end of the game for Christians on every issue. You won't have pro-life people anymore. And please don't give me this baloney that, oh, the Catholics from Mexico are pro-life because the Catholic Church... If that's true, why do they vote 80% plus for Obama? Is he pro-life? Or the Catholics from Mexico and Latin America, they believe in traditional marriage. Really? Is that why they support Obama and all the left-wing Democrats and vote for Obama and all the left-wing Democrats that support gay marriage? This is the end of morals. It's the end of America. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. You open up the borders, it's Stom the Amora, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. So Baptists or anyone, I don't care who it is, who say we should have open borders and to support the illegal aliens, are betraying everything the Bible stands for. God doesn't want us to be politically correct. You can't make a civil right out of a moral wrong. Thank you, Paper Cut. And we now go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, who is more dangerous, causes more damage, AIPAC and their media supporters like Jennifer Rubin or Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul, who Rubin criticizes, unquote. They're both very dangerous. Obviously, if Rand Paul becomes president, he's going to be extremely dangerous. God forbid. I don't think he's going to become president. I honestly find it hard to see how this guy is electable. I don't think he's going to become president, but if he did, then he would be more dangerous. But right now, as long as he's a senator, right now, he's very bad. He does a lot of harm, but AIPAC and Jennifer Rubin are more dangerous right now. Because they're Jews. Jews that do evil are more dangerous than any other people. Because when God's people do evil, it's the ultimate distortion of what the world is supposed to be all about. So they do far more damage. Far more. So right now, AIPAC and Jennifer Rubin are more dangerous. The only way Rand Paul would become more dangerous is if he was in a position of such influence, if he became president and then was in a position of such tremendous influence, then he would also become incredibly dangerous as well. Thank you, EB22. And we now go to the great Nekama, who writes, and I quote, "The mullah of Satmar should have his side curls cut off and trade his garb of the Hungarian nobility for sand schwarze pajamas. He makes me sick," unquote. Obvious, I agree with you completely. I agree with you completely. Again, I call this Semitic fungi. The Semitic fungi who hate their fellow Jews. And you know, Semitic fungi come in all shapes and forms. Some of them are secular, the Hollywood types, the Hollywood fungi, news media fungi, the deformed and conservative fungi. They come in all forms, and this is the fungi with the Satmar outfit. They wear their little outfit, which is, again, as you say correctly, it's an imitation of Hungarian, no, but the anti-Semitic Hungarian nobility. They're imitating the anti-Semites in Hungary. Their name, by the way, Satmar, means Saint Mary. So they're the Saint Mary Jews. That's their name. Satmar means Saint Mary. They're the Saint Mary Jews. And I don't mean to offend anybody that believes in Saint Mary, and you know, anybody wants to believe in that, that's fine, but that's not part of Jewish belief. But they call their whole sect the Saint Mary Jews. Anyway, and they take it, of course, Saint Mary coming from the Catholic, for the Hungarian Catholics. I love our Catholic JTFers. Our Catholic JTFers are very good people, but the Hungarian Catholics happened to be Nazis during the Holocaust. They happened to be very anti-Semitic and still are very anti-Semitic to this day. And the Satmar are imitating the nobility among them, the wealthy ones, with their dress and even their name. Thank you, Nekama. And we now go to the great Kahana loyalist, who writes, and I quote, "Techaim, can you respond to the statement by Rav Eliakim Levanon that the killers of the Arab, even if Jewish, should be given the death penalty," unquote. What an evil thing to say. I mean, how evil? This is not a real rabbi. He wants to give the death penalty to Jewish kids who allegedly killed an Arab Jew hater, again, who was celebrating. Again, this Arab Jew hater is on Facebook laughing at the three Jewish kids that were murdered, laughing and holding up his three fingers and laughing. The three fingers symbolizing the three Jewish kids who were murdered, and he's laughing at them. And they claim that these Jewish kids then, in retaliation, killed this Arab in retaliation, which we don't even know. But he says they should be given the death penalty. Something which is never given to any of the Arab terrorists. Everything Eliakim Levanon wants to do to his fellow Jews, wants to do to good and loyal Jews, and this is really going to get me into hot water, but what he wants to do to his fellow Jews, may Hashem do it to him. If someone curses good people or people that are in trouble, Hashem, true justice is Hashem should do to them what they want to do to the good people. That's true justice. Anyway, Kahana loyalist, that's my unpopular opinion, but I'm not going to stab people who are in trouble in the back. And again, I'm not saying I agree, and I'm not saying whether you agree or disagree or like or dislike killing of this Arab or what these six Jewish kids are accused of. And we don't know that the Jewish kids did it. I think the Jewish kids are innocent. I think they're all innocent. I think they're being framed. I think they're all innocent. But regardless of what you think, you know, whatever they did was because they loved the Jewish people. And they want to protect the Jewish people. What is this vicious hatred coming from people who call themselves rabbis, who are trying to prove themselves, who are trying to put their nose up every leftist tuchus in the media. This vicious hate, this lynch mob, it's just unforgivable to me. Unforgivable. Thank you, Kahana Loyalist. And now we... And by the way, Kahana Loyalist, imagine if we become a mass movement, we're going to defend Jews that are being victimized by lynch mobs, even when it's unpopular. And we now go to our great friend Maimonides, who writes, Shalom Chaim, when will the Jews of Israel ever wake up and realize that trying to appease the nations of the world will only lead to their destruction, unquote. Eventually, Maimonides, they certainly will wake up. God promises us this in the Bible, and the prophets promise us this. Of course they're going to wake up. How much suffering, though, will they have to suffer before? God forbid. Maimonides, when we become a mass movement, the Jews of Israel will wake up. And if we take over in Israel, they'll never go to sleep again. They'll be awake and they'll stay awake forever. Amen. God willing, it should only come quickly in our time. I want to thank everybody on JTF for another show that I enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.